Hi, I'm Brian Grant, and you're listening to On Time, the Brian Grant Foundation podcast about living with Parkinson's. If you want to know more about Brian Grant Foundation, go to briangrant.org.
Hi, this is Katrina Call, Executive Director of the Brian Grant Foundation. Thank you for listening to our podcast, which is one of our many programs to help empower people impacted by Parkinson's disease to lead active and fulfilling lives. Our programs are possible because of the generous support of our donors. Please consider helping us continue this work by making a donation at briangrant.org. Thanks again for listening.
You're listening to On Time, a podcast about living your best life with Parkinson's, brought to you by the Brian Grant Foundation. I'm your host, Larry Gifford, president of PD Avengers at pdavengers.com. Today, we have a special episode as part of our series dedicated to breaking down stigma for people living with Parkinson's disease. In this series, we've explored the challenges, the triumphs, and shared experiences of individuals navigating life with Parkinson's, from dispelling myths to celebrating resilience. And today, I'm honored to be joined by none other than Brian Grant himself, former NBA star and founder of the Brian Grant Foundation. Brian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
Now, you were diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2008.
Yes.
Look at you. You're looking good.
Besides my tooth, I feel great. That's an inside joke, everybody.
Inside joke. Okay. So now, despite what you had created with your basketball career and your celebrity status, I'm sure you've encountered some challenges, the misconceptions and stereotypes surrounding Parkinson's disease in your life.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things, and I'm guilty of this too, was that I thought only elderly people or really old people got Parkinson's.
Old white guys.
Yeah, well, that was the second thing, because I knew Muhammad Ali had it.
Well, that's true.
But I didn't know any other African-Americans who had it, who had a platform to at least come out and talk about it.
Was there a, as you were coming out, was there a fear or a, any, did you get any backlash from the basketball community?
Absolutely not. They're very supportive. I think when I really decided that I was going to come out and let the world know that I had Parkinson's, my biggest enemy was me. All the stuff going on in my head of what I might say to somebody who had Parkinson's if I hadn't had it. But the NBA community embraced me. The Parkinson's community embraced me. So that was really helpful for me when I came out.
Can you share a personal experience where you felt the impact of stigma related to Parkinson's and how you navigated around it?
I forget where I was at, but I was traveling and I was shaking. And this woman comes by and goes, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm good." She goes, "Maybe you shouldn't drink so much." And I'm like, "What?" I said, "No, ma'am, I have Parkinson's." You know, she's an older lady. I said, "No, ma'am, I have Parkinson's." She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she felt bad about it. But that, you know, that's definitely the way I perceive that people perceive me is a big letdown on my part. Instead of giving the people a chance to say what they really feel, I already have it in my mind what they're thinking when I actually don't.
So it's sort of this battle between the public stigma and your self-stigma.
Exactly.
So which do you think? Do you think the self-stigma is fueled by what we think the public perceptions are?
For me, I think it's an individual thing. You know, you may feel one way and I may feel another. It definitely affects us.
Have you felt the stigma of being an African American with Parkinson's?
Yes, I have. When I first met Katrina for the Michael J. Fox gala weekend, we went to a round table that Michael showed up to speak to. I sat there through half of it, and then I just turned to look at all the faces, you know, and that were in house that day, and I was the only African American. And that was surprising because I know it's got to be more than me and more than Muhammad.
Yeah, there's got to be. So what did you do? What, at that moment, what were you thinking and what action did you take?
It was so early on for me, as far as my diagnosis, I just thought, well, I know somewhere down the line, I'm going to start meeting people who have this disease and who want that want to talk about it.
And then you, was that before or after the foundation was created?
No, that was before the, no, I had the foundation. I just didn't have Katrina.
I gotcha. Do you think the media plays a role in how Parkinson's is portrayed and the public's understanding of it?
I think they can be a negative or positive. You know, it all depends on what questions they're asking or what they're looking to do. One thing that I really love about Michael J. Fox is I've seen all his movies.
Oh, yeah.
But the last one he did still really hit me right here, because that was a man who was going out being vulnerable, you know, with this disease, because when he went down, walked down the street and tripped, fell down and got up. I mean, I was in tears watching that, because not because I felt sorry for him, but just because I want to say, thank you, man. Thank you for your sacrifice, giving me the courage to walk out these doors each and every day. Granted, I'm still doing pretty good, but it still doesn't matter if you're female or male. There's something that if you have Parkinson's, you're always going to be tussling with.
Yeah. What are you tussling with these days?
Oh, let's see.
Other than your tooth.
No, just starting to progress a little more. And I mean, I've had a pretty good run at this.
What's progression look like to you?
When my meds weren't working as well.
Yeah.
But I went in and saw my neurologist. They put me on some different stuff, and that really helped. That really helped. It's just, I've kind of spoiled myself with this disease, because I've had such, not an easy road, but I know a lot of my friends who have it are going through or have gone through rough times with it. So I count myself blessed and thankful for it.
Yeah, I agree. There's people are like, I can't even tell you have Parkinson's. I'm like, well, I do. I'll trade your bodies. but and that's part of stigma too. Like, people just not even they try to. Oh well, I get that too. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, my handwriting's bad. Oh, my handwriting's bad too. Like, no, you don't get it. Like, you don't get to adopt my symptoms just because you try to make me feel better.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. People, you know, and I don't think they mean any harm. They're just trying to deal with the situation from what they know or what they see.
Right.
You know, I don't think a lot of guys that I've been running into lately, old friends that I played ball with, you know, met up with them and they were like, I'm sorry, I haven't been out here, I haven't done this. I'm like, you know, just, it's a friendship. We both get busy. I get busy, shoot. But you're here now and you're allowing me to express how I feel, and you're expressing how you feel. So
that's cool. I'm sure you have some great friendships from the NBA. Talk about Pat Riley. Did he help you break through some stigma?
He did. When I was forming the foundation, I was actually in Miami and I was meeting with him. And, you know, that's Coach Riley, but I know him from the, you know, the general and then the Mr. Nice Guy. But we were having a conversation and he says, Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. You got to treat this thing like a business and not a foundation, because you're in the business of raising dollars for your programs and keeping your doors open.
Who are some other influential people in your life as you came out from and announced you had Parkinson's? I know Pat Riley was one of them. Is there any others?
I mean, Michael J. Fox, being able to, you know, get a phone call from him 2 months after I was diagnosed. I'm a big groupie. I'm not even going to try to hide it. I'm a Michael J. fan and groupie. Every time I'm in his presence, I'm like, man, that's Back to the Future over there. But the phone call from him, I also received a phone call from Lani Ali, which was Muhammad's wife. And she was like talking to my auntie, you know, was like, how you doing? Are they feeding you? You know, it was a really great conversation. I was thankful to be in a position to be able to have those conversations. But, you know, friends that I would pull their coattail, Jerome Kersey, rest in peace. He was the first person that I told that was an athlete or had played. And the only reason that happened was we had an appearance and they were going to take us on to the half court at halftime. And I'm tremoring. Jerome says, what's going on? I go, man, I have Parkinson's. He says, what? I said, I have Parkinson's and I can't quit shaking. He said, just follow me. I got you. We walked out, waved to everybody, had my hand in my pocket, went back in and he says, see, you got this. And I thought, I'd like to see the video because to me, I'm doing this.
You're right.
But when I saw the video, it was just, you couldn't even tell. I mean, yeah.
What a good friend.
Yeah, he was.
You were really open in your book about your personal life and the relationships with your kids and their moms. Has this affected your personal life from a stigma standpoint?
It has, but I want to say it's affected it in a good way because the kids and their mothers have kind of rallied around what's going on with me, you know? Whereas, you know, looking to, you know, have my son for a couple weekends and arguing and things like that, it wasn't none of that, especially after I was diagnosed. You know, the women and children that are in my life all rallied around and just wanted me to know that they're there for me. And they have been. Absolutely have been.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear. Let's talk about how maybe, let's spitball on how people can tackle stigma in their own worlds. You know, stigma comes in a lot of different ways. Stereotypes, you know, and I think with stereotypes, you just have to talk to people. You have to be vulnerable. And you have to go, wait a second. Just like you did. Like, listen, I'm not drunk. I've got Parkinson's.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would have been that person if I didn't have Parkinson's. So I put myself in their shoes and say, okay, we're going to let this one go because yeah, I'm sad that they think that about me, but it also gives me an opportunity to educate them by telling them not everyone who has a tremor is drinking.
Right.
Or has tremors from drinking.
I was on the bus once and I had my poles with me so I could balance. And this guy goes, you going skiing? I'm like, no. I've got Parkinson's. And he goes, oh, it's kind of like diabetes, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, not even a little bit.
No. Nah, that's a good one.
When people are feeling that they have stigma, they socially isolate. And so they go, they disconnect from their regular world. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you isolate yourself, it's a downward spiral. You have to surround yourself with friends and people with Parkinson's, people without Parkinson's, have a care partner, have a team around you.
Right.
I mean, you know what it's like to have a team.
Yeah, I have a team. I'm in my house by myself. You know, my older kids are grown, living places. I got one's about to get married. And I have my two littles. But, I mean, my dog passed away.
Now you sound like a bad country song, Brian.
I tell you what, that was my dog. And he was kind of like my provider, my not my caregiver, just him being in the presence. Always kept a smile on my face unless he peed in my shoes or something. But
it's important to be socially engaged, I think.
It is. I mean, if we don't open our mouths and educate people who have those stigma, then they're only going to go off of what they think or what their perception or definition of what we have is.
Another stigma that people face is employment discrimination, either not getting hired or getting fired because of Parkinson's. This is one that we have to really gain control of. And it's about education too. It's about teaching these hiring managers, employers about Parkinson's. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're not worthy. It's like, we have a lot to offer people.
Yeah, I've got a couple of buddies who have PD, and they're going through that right now. Kind of wondering if they're going to have a position in the up and coming months. So I definitely see that a lot.
Yeah, it's too bad. And I think the only thing you can do is just know that if they're firing you because you have Parkinson's and you can prove it, you've got a lawsuit on your hands, because there are laws against it, but oftentimes the corporations are sneaky.
When I retired, the one thing I wanted to do was, television, sports broadcasting, but I wasn't able to go to the tryouts because I had this tremor that I didn't know about. And then when I knew about it, I didn't know how I'd be able to get in front of a camera. I mean, I'm talking to you. We've spoken several times, but that anxiety still comes over me.
Sure. Well, so you self-selected. You discriminated against yourself.
I am. I did. I should have went in there. I should have allowed them to say, you know what? Thank you, but we're good.
Right.
I never know, because I couldn't sit in front of a camera right now and call a game with all my short-term memory.
Oh, but 24 years ago, you might have been able to.
Oh, yeah. Back then, I was a little more confident.
Yeah. Experiencing stigma and discrimination can have really detrimental effects on mental health and well-being of people. Shame, embarrassment, depression, anxiety. Have you felt any of those before?
Just about all of them.
Me too.
Definitely, yeah. It's a beautiful day here in Portland, Oregon. And, my mind says, let's go out and be in that sun. But I got to make it past the couch to get out the front door. And my friends and close personal friends tell me, I would tell you, you need to get rid of the couch, but then you'd have a different couch over there that you're sitting on.
You just put a bed in there.
I really wouldn't come out then. But now I just got to get up and enjoy things. And, I've become grateful for the connections of people that have Parkinson's that I'm able to mix with and talk and tell my story and hear their story too. Because when I hear somebody tell their story, I'm picking up all the similarities that we have between us, and then some things that are like night and day. Because you know how this disease is. It doesn't pick or choose who it afflicts. And then once you do have it, there's no two patients that are exactly alike. And I used to wonder about that, but it's true.
What did you wonder?
When I started our support group we have out here, it was, six men and six women meeting separately, airing it out, how we feel. I was amazed at some of the stuff I was hearing. I was like, wow. Yeah, really? If you take this, it makes you sick. But she's free of tremors with it.
Right.
So the brain is what it is. And no two people's brains are alike, I guess.
No. I'll say that I think it's really fascinating. When you think about the neurologists and the MDS who care for us, every time you walk in there, it's like they've got to start over from scratch, because they can't just assume you're like anybody else. So it truly is working together with the patient to figure out what needs treated, and it's symptom management. It's not disease management. They're just trying to, dampen your symptoms. So it's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, I definitely learned that I need to write things down, because a lot of times it's like, we'll see you in 3 months or 6 months. So I write things down more than I used to. I used to just go to my appointments, hear what I got to hear, get back out there and get back on the grind. But if I don't write things down now, Larry, forget them.
Can you read your writing?
Oh, no, I can't even write. I got to have somebody write it for me. Or I do the little memo thing.
Oh, yeah, the voice memo. That's the best.
Yeah.
Have you ever pulled yourself from like a moment of shame or embarrassment or whatever by giving yourself purpose.
You mean like starting the foundation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that helped a lot. And when I met Katrina and she came on board, I felt like I didn't even have to go to my neurologist because she knows the scientific side of it, you know, patient care. She's just been a blessing in so many ways. And, you know, she lines out, you know, you have all these things going on, but you have purpose here too. So she helped me create a lane that her and I can use to get whatever content or thing that we're doing out in the general public.
Yeah, I find purpose, the really, if you can figure out what is it that you want to accomplish, and it can be a foundation, but it can also be, hey, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to go past the couch, and I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to take a walk around the block. That could be your purpose too. But you have to give yourself that motivation in order to get past whatever's holding you back.
Yeah, I got purpose in losing some weight too.
You and me both, buddy.
COVID, boy, did a number on me. Me and Coop shacked up with 6 kids and nothing but a pantry full of food and nowhere to go because you couldn't go nowhere. I put it on, so I always
You're still trying to get
up.
Rid of your COVID 15?
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to get rid of it. That's a goal.
What do you do to keep a positive attitude?
I listen to music.
Yeah? You listen to jazz?
Sort of like Sade, you know, Smooth Operator.
Nice. Do you have any hobbies or anything that you do other than like
fishing?
Fishing? What kind of fishing? Fly fishing? Or?
Salmon, steelhead, sturgeon.
Nice. Be good?
I got buddies that are good, so we always get fish. I know what I'm
That's all that matters. I got a buddy with a boat and a buddy with some fishing gear, and we're good to go.
Man, crabbing was real good this year, too.
Oh, was it? See, now, I bet people don't know that about Portland, that it's good for crabbing.
Well, I mean, you got to go down to Astoria.
Okay.
Or Garibaldi, but I mean, they were thick.
That's great. Hey, Brian. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks for having me on. I'm a tad bit off.
No, you're a tad bit on, you're a lot off. But I just want to say thank you to you and your foundation for all that you do, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Thank you for listening to season 5 of On Time, a Parkinson's podcast. You can hear all the previous episodes at briangrant.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Brian Grant Foundation empowers people impacted by Parkinson's to lead active and fulfilling lives. Help support our efforts at briangrant.org. A special thank you to Raphael Sadiq for providing the music for this podcast. This podcast is produced by Brian Griggs. Learn more at GriggsProductions.com.